You gotta go to the 11 on the...
Go on seal, yeah. Mr. Deedle, do you have any discussion that you have to inform us on this?
Yes, the Plan Commission's recommending approval of the certified survey map with a couple of changes. The resolution in the packet would include those changes. The city attorney mentioned an additional change that addresses the consent requirement. So that would have to be included in the resolution as well. I believe he just handed out that version to you.
Correct.
So staff is recommend, Plan Commission staff's recommending approval with those changes. I believe the applicant has concerns with a number of these changes, five of these conditions of approval. So they may wish to speak about those. Staff is comfortable with the conditions as they're currently written.
Well, Mr. Deal, why don't you just highlight to us what the concerns are.
So kick me. Number four?
Number four?
Okay. Number four is okay.
Okay.
Number seven is okay.
Okay.
Number eight. And number 10.
You're saying number eight is okay?
Eight
is okay.
Well, eight is okay as...
The city attorney explained.
As amended. As amended. In the amended resolution. Okay. Okay. City attorney, if you need to interject, let me know. You're fine?
Okay. Number 10. We will have a difference of opinion here. So staff is looking for a connection from Ryan Road directly through the subject property. The applicant would like to use a connection on the west that connects to another property they currently own. The idea being for them is that if the ownership stays the same, they do a massive development, they tie the two parcels together, it makes more sense. Planning's concern is the ownership changes over time. It's two separate owners. They can't agree. We have a subdivision plan. We may have that issue tonight. Staff is looking for a connection on this subject property direct to Ross, not to Ryan. So the applicant would like to provide a connection to the west and then to Ryan. Staff is looking directly to Ryan on this subject property. That's the difference on condition number 10. So as it's currently worded, the connection has to be provided directly to Ryan. And also it's been reworded to be more loose, that it doesn't have to be shown on the CSM. Whatever means is acceptable to all parties. It shows that future connection is acceptable.
Correct. There's never a guarantee that this is going to be into infinity, that it's going to stay and remain within ownership. I can see where city staff is making that recommendation. Okay. Yes, Attorney Gunn.
Thank you so much.
Or if I'm mispronouncing it, please correct me.
You did it great. And I apologize, this drawing is small, but it's been provided previously in packets we've submitted. Lots 1 and 2 here, those are 2-acre lots. If we reserve a roadway through there, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want a roadway going through my yard. I certainly understand why the city wants to make sure that there is road access back there. It fits with the comprehensive master plan of someday hopefully developing that into a subdivision. That's why we had suggested doing this proposed roadway through the applicant's current property. We'd be willing to do that as a deed restriction so that, that stays in place then for future owners. Putting it right through the middle, Mr. Haley at the Plan Commission also had concerns about that because there's a lot of mature woodlands, there's wetlands. Cutting through there can potentially disturb some of those. If we go as the proposed roadway that we had drawn up, it doesn't disturb any kind of natural resources as well. So hopefully that helps alleviate some of the concerns. We felt that it was a good way to achieve both your goals and ours.
Mr. Deedle, did you have an opportunity to look at that idea?
Just now, although I was envisioning something like this when I knew that they had a different idea. Again, if it was one parcel, I'd have less concerns, but it is two separate parcels. Yes, they can do deed restrictions or restrictive covenants or something like that, but those can be changed over time as well.
Well, she had more of a concern with, well, she had a concern with the reservation of the road.
Yep. Again, from the standpoint that, yes, it would, it's more of a hindrance to the people that would build their homes in that lot, that there might be a future road going right down the middle of it. Now, yes, I would agree with that. But in the future, if there's a subdivision plan, the people that live in those lots are going to be impacted by the adjacent lots.
Sure.
So they'll be more similar to those future lots. So you set the stage so that things don't change as much in the future. There'll be smaller lots but adjacent to roads, more similar to those. And then, yes, there are natural resources that would be impacted, but the city's already created a process. The alternatives analysis where public roads are allowed to go through natural resources. And if the council doesn't need mitigation, no mitigation is required.
Sometime down the road, that could always be vacated if they did come in with a solution of coming with a egress point that would wrap around, come around it in a different direction, then we could vacate it too. I guess, we'd like to be able to have at least some protection on one side, but with an understanding that we can always vacate as well. But hold on, I got a question from Alderwoman Wilhelm.
This is a question for planning staff. Are you concerned that the use of their current drive is not adequate to serve those lots? Is that the concern?
There will probably be two new driveways for the two new homes, and then we'd be proposing a third future public road, not to be constructed at this time, but some kind of reservation right away, easement, whatever.
But it sounds like they want to use their the existing drive to serve those lots, correct?
I did not know that.
I'm trying to understand what they're...
The proposed road encompasses a portion of the existing drive, but it goes beyond that.
Okay, so it uses existing drive coming up, then crosses over where that tree line is, where all those big oaks are, correct? Onto that property.
I haven't seen it.
I'm very familiar with the property because it's right by the Franklin State Natural Area.
You probably know better than I do. I only have my drawing that doesn't show me the oaks because it's squiggly lines.
Yeah.
But yes, it uses the existing drive and then cuts over into the proposed.
And that's what you would like to continue to use?
That's what we would like to reserve as a roadway in the event that Alba is ever developed.
Well, I have a piece of information that might assist with this. They're required to keep that as an access road at this point under an easement that they have already on that road. So that they can't change that unless they come in and make some changes. So they're required to have that road there. So why don't you just let them use it? It's a requirement with an easement.
You're referring to the existing driveway to their
correct
existing home that's the adjacent.
Right, and they want to branch it off right before they get up to their home, but that already is a recorded access easement.
That there's something there now helps a little bit, but not enough to change my mind, because my concern is primarily two separate parcels currently owned by the same person now, but no guarantee that it will be in the future. And this driveway is only for the parcel to the west. It doesn't help immediately the parcel that we're talking about to CSM.
Two points to that quickly. First of all, the outlot under Wisconsin state statute is not required to have any road access by virtue of the fact that it is an undevelopable portion of land. It can't be developed without further action. So the proposed roadway that we've suggested really is in an attempt to try and compromise and satisfy the concerns of the planning department. But by state statute is actually not necessary. The other point that I had was that we do have an intention or are willing to rezone that outlot to R1 and combine it with the mayor's current property, or alternately rezone their current property to R2 to combine it with the outlot. So it doesn't need to be two separate pieces of property, which addresses your concern about that, we would be willing to combine them into the outlot with their current property at 9733 Ryan Road.
Although it's correct that you don't need to do it, we're in a position here that we're asking for a little give and take. And so sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. We've got to see what is more beneficial to protect the future of an unknown versus the immediacy of today. Okay. So, any other questions? City Attorney.
So, Mr. Deedle, your presentation, did you suggest any other changes than what I had provided? Handed out resolution. Okay, well, if the council is interested, perhaps the motion would refer to the terms of the resolution as redrafted, presented at the meeting, subject to any minor changes approved by the city planning manager, city engineer, and city attorney. Since these changes essentially were produced today, amongst many other things, after weekend review, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, Alderman Taylor?
I just want to make sure, does that motion include what's the staff's position on the last two issues that we just talked about, which is the road access and then also the water hookup to Ryan Road compared to the existing property? I mean, I think so far we've given, and I have to agree with staff on these two issues. So is that motion that the city attorney is recommending include those two or not?
Yep, it includes granting the waiver for public sewer and public water and continuing to require the connection, a future connection to Ryan. You would have to make a motion to change condition number 11. 10. And there's still number 11? Okay. So currently as it stands, it's yes, granting the waiver for public sewer and public water, and still requiring a connection to Ryan.
Which is 10. It's the way it's written.
So we don't have to change 10.
Change it.
Correct. Okay, second. I have a motion and a second. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? Hearing none, the motion passes. 5 in favor, none against.
No abstentions.
I think we can go back. Thank you, Attorney Counselor. We'll go back to item G1. Creative Custom Homes. Approving a preliminary plat. The Prisvillas, if you guys would like to work your way up to the front. And Ms. Watson. Okay. We've got a resolution conditionally approving a preliminary plat for Pleasant View Estate Subdivision. Mr. Deedle, why don't you give us the points?
Thank you. Again, in the packet is the Plan Commission recommended approved version of the resolution. The Plan Commission didn't recommend approval of the subdivision plat with a number of conditions, some of which were revised. Those revised conditions are in the draft resolution. In addition, I believe another resolution was handed out at your table with further changes for all of them. In addition to that, the applicant has concerns with some of those recommended conditions. So
the resolutions that are presented to us are acceptable to the developer?
No.
In our packet?
Correct. No.
Well, they're not all. Okay.
So there's a couple of Plan Commission recommendations, conditions that they have concerns with, and then they probably will have concerns with some of the older ones.
Why don't you tell us which ones are okay?
Okay, so this is similar to what we do with the Plan Commission. We'll just walk down the list.
Correct.
Are we going off the one in the packet or the one that's showing?
Well, we're going to go off the packet because they, you don't have the revision, do you?
We received it at the afternoon today.
Are you ready to go off of the revision?
I'd say yes. I don't have objections to all of them.
Oh, listen to
all the women's world changes. So I say let's go with theirs.
Okay. This one is labeled G1.
And then at the top, it's labeled all the women will help redraft 5/21/19.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Dito.
So in the first paragraph, there's a change in the middle, if you have the color, or it shows up in black and white. Okay. Those are, I believe, are minor technical changes. I don't have any objections to those changes in the first paragraph.
Why don't you tell us what the first paragraph is saying?
Okay, so this is a standard template kind of start of the resolution that talks about what's being asked for, where it is. So it's got the location, it's a subdivision plat, a preliminary plat particular, talking about the number of lots to be created, 26 lots, 4 outlots, single family, residential subdivision, including a proposed sidewalk. And then what's being added is a proposed sidewalk and now being added along the easternmost, striking out or trail from the cul-de-sac of Pleasant View Court, continuing as a trail southward and eastward, and then adding, crossing out lot 1. So I believe that's just going into more detail of what's being proposed in that subdivision plan.
I have a comment.
Yes, Alderwoman.
I did get an email from Mr. Morrow about the naming of the streets, and this, I don't think, complies with what they wanted the street names. I don't have a preference on that at all, but I did want to call attention because he did bring it up several times at the Plan Commission. It was brought up.
Oh, I think that's minor details.
Yeah, but just to clear up the table, I wasn't at the Plan Commission meeting, but Ben was, and I talked to Ben about it. Ben said it was removed from the list of commissions.
Okay.
So the history is staff's recommending that the name of the two cul-de-sacs be 50th Court and 49th Court, which is our standard city naming process. The applicant wants something different. Plan Commission removed that commission to allow them to have a different name.
Okay.
I don't have a preference. I just want to make sure it was addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's correct. That's currently written.
Okay.
So that's the first change. Staff has no objection.
Yes, City Attorney.
Just a thought for the planning manager. Since you chose to use this redraft to walk through the points, if there's any changes therein from what was recommended by the Plan Commission, I would suggest that you mention that fact.
Yes. So even there, this first change would be something the Plan Commission would not see. But I believe it's minor technical. That's all that's on page 1.
Okay.
Moving on to page 2. I'll mention at the bottom of page 1, it's a standard template. I don't think anybody's objecting to that condition. It's a standard template condition. So is condition number 2. And now we're on page 2. Condition number 3. Condition number 4. All standard template conditions. Condition number 5. Same thing. Now 6, these are where the new conditions specific to this development begin. There is a proposed change by the Alderwoman, striking out that first part of the sentence and changing it. So removing, should the pedestrian access easement be determined to be publicly owned? Now it's stating that it will be publicly owned. At the time that staff, I wrote that condition, I did not know what the Plan Commission and Council were going to do. And I didn't have a strong preference either way. So I left it open-ended that it could be public or not public. All women have changed it to be public. And if the council agrees with that, I have no objection. The applicant may have concern with that. Okay. So then, condition number 7 also has a change. At the end of the sentence, so we're talking about the pedestrian trail, 10 feet wide, paved, that hasn't changed, being added as and as previously conditioned as item 23 within resolution 2018-7375. So again, the Alderwoman Wilhelm is, I believe, is a minor technical correction, but she is pointing out that in a prior version of the subdivision plan, there was a condition that said that trail had to be done, and had to be done as part of the first phase. So the applicant is saying they believe it was, and so the applicant does have a concern with the wording of this condition. They believe the Plan Commission approved it as that the trail didn't have to go in until the second phase. Again, I wasn't there, talked to Ben. He thought they said first phase.
That was that Plan Commission?
Yes.
But resolution 018-7375, which was adopted by this common council, said first phase.
Correct.
And for clarification, that was not provided to the Plan Commission, so they wouldn't have known that. I have it here, and I can read it, and it does say phase 1.
Yep. This is initial phase.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And there is just a couple dots and a little typo at the very end of that sentence. My computer kept crashing on me. It's a real challenge.
I believe no change to condition number 8.
Okay.
Condition number 9 has a proposed change by the Alderman. This, they're further elaborating that, well, first of all, it's talking about necessary approvals, documentation regarding the right-of-way associated with Marquette, and something's being added here, including a minimum 6-foot right-of-way dedication, a further change that was proposed by the Alderman Wilhelm to this is for a sidewalk, and then along the south side of the existing Marquette Avenue to be constructed by the developer, and connecting to the existing school sidewalk. So that part addition was an addition by Alderman Wilhelm. Again, I would leave that, or in this instance, as it's more right away width necessary for a sidewalk, I'm deferring to the engineering department, although it appears he just left.
Alderwoman?
This is been a contentious item, and for the gentleman that spoke earlier, and who had provided the letter to the mayor, I told him that I would give that to all of you, and I didn't have the opportunity. I never got the letter that he sent to the mayor, but I did go to his house and took a snapshot of his draft. And he made the comment about leaving Marquette alone, making sure it goes out to 51st Street. And what he meant by that was, he's the gentleman and his neighbor that we've worked to protect the tree line. And this is what he wrote to the mayor. Mayor of the City of Franklin, I understand you don't value trees the way I do. Years ago, I watered the small hickory and maple as well as the pine and spruce along Marquette Avenue. I urge you to reconsider this matter. His concern and the neighbors' concerns throughout that have always been that they felt that that tree line had value to the neighborhood. And we, when we put in that section of road, we deliberately left the tree line alone. I have not gotten an answer on what will happen with that. I've asked this several times. Prior to the Plan Commission meeting, both developers and I and their engineers sat in the alderman and went over every resolution point by point. During that time when I asked about that area, what was going to happen, their engineer told me, oh, we are going to be giving them 6 feet of right-of-way for the sidewalk on the south side. So that's where that language came from. It wasn't clarified in any documentation. When Kevin Haley was at the Plan Commission, he was also asking about that. And here's a gentleman that's been reading plats and doing landscape and different things for a very long time, and he said that the plat was not very clear to hear, and he was, you know, going like this, trying to make sure. So all I'd ask was that 6 feet of that sidewalk go on that side of the road and not on the north side of the road, because that is the side where the school sidewalk is. And if we don't put it in now, there'll be houses right up against there.
Either Joel or the engineer, is there a vision with those trees that are on the north side of the road, is there a vision problem, that obstruction problem with the development of that road that would be created?
I would not say there's a vision problem.
Yeah. Okay. So there's no view problem that we're worried about. Alderman Taylor.
Just for historical content, I mean, Alderman Mayer's predecessor, Solomon, was sitting in that chair. Your predecessor, Olson, was sitting in that chair. You had Lyle Stones here. You had Ken Skaransky here. Tom Taylor was in that. I mean, we purposely saved those trees when we put in that portion of the road. There was never, if that was the time to mow them down and put in a road, that would have been it. And we were very clear then. So, I can understand if you go through resolutions, that doesn't talk about the intent that we talked about here over and over again. That's why I asked the question before about, you know, that resolution on the item number 7. I don't really care what Plan Commission recommends, just so we know going forward. I mean, they're recommending body, we decide at the end. So they can come to us and they can say, hey, this is what we did at Plan Commission. But just like dozens and dozens and hundreds of times in my 10 years plus up here, we don't always listen to Plan Commission. So I'm looking at what this council's intention was when we gave you the Phase 1 authorization.
Okay.
Just to be clear. And just like the tree line, we had an intention then, and I think that's moving forward when I look at this.
Yes, Mr. Prisavilla.
In regards to that sidewalk on the south side, we have no problem with that. In fact, I believe it shows on the plat. I know that Commissioner Kevin Hanley had maybe some problems being able to see that. However, it's clearly on our plat. So we have no problem with that particular sidewalk
on the south side.
That's okay. What I'm going to do, because I mean, this gentleman, you know, he called me yesterday, and I'm like, well, listen, I support protecting those trees. You know, I'm going to listen to the alderman of the district. She knows that area very well. But I just want to make, you know, just kind of like I said, for historical, this was, what, 2009, 10, or something like that, when we made those decisions, and my position hasn't changed on that tree line.
Okay. Looks like 10 and 11 are okay.
Yeah.
There's no red lines in it. Number 12 discusses the wetlands buffer.
Yep. So now, I may be confused here, too. Again, I wrote the original condition. And what I was recommending is that the wetland buffers and setbacks both would always be in both an LMOT and a conservation easement. As we had that meeting once with all the parties, I had said if they could convince me that a lot would become unbuildable if we left it that way, both in the LMOT and the conservation easement, I would probably back off it. I don't believe any of these lots become unbuildable. They become smaller, but not unbuildable. So my condition was, my recommendation was to require easements and setbacks to always be in both.
Okay.
I thought, to me, this wording change is to say it could be either or.
All right, and I'll let you know where that came from. I wasn't clear on why you were doing that. Your explanation makes perfect sense. I had received, Nicole sent an email to the city attorney, and she had said she believed it should be or, but not both. And so I was trying to find a middle ground. I really prefer yours now that I've gotten an explanation on what you were trying to do. But I'm not going to, you know, fight that one either way. I'll let, you know, whoever. You know, what we've been trying to do is don't put conservation easements in the lot, because we know what happens. Woodland Franken's a perfect example, and I think that's what you were doing, and that is a great idea. If that's a real big problem for them, then I guess now's their time to say so, because there are other things that I won't be flexible on coming up. So
I would say
go back to, well, yes, we'll give you a chance, Rick, in a second. Joel?
I would say if that's the case, then maybe it's okay as written.
Which one? This one?
Condition number 12, say either or.
Okay. Okay, Rick.
Hey,
respond.
You just have,
or you're fine.
Okay. Well, not fine, but
I'll go. You're
well.
Okay.
I thought we had a discussion. I thought you and I had a discussion in regards to those lots, and it was because of the back swales and the drainage that we had to create, and the utility easements being in the rear lot lines was the issue. So, thank you.
So
13 is okay.
13 is okay.
14
is a big one here. So again, this is probably going to be the toughest issue. Marquette, and when does it get built? How does it get built? Starting with my recommendation was, I was recommending that Marquette get built with the first phase of the subdivisions. I ignored the issue of what if the two developers don't build at the same time. I was punting that issue to the county council. Plan commission made some changes to that condition, and now Alderman Wilhelm is proposing some additional changes to that condition. So the plan commission was recommending something in the middle, a little bit more vague and flexible, I think. Again, I was not at the meeting. Still that there be some kind of full and complete construction of Marquette. There's a lot adjacent to Marquette. Pedestrian access trail to Pleasant. It's not Pleasant Valley.
Right.
Pleasant View. As soon as reasonably practical, something that Plan Commission added, in cooperation with the developer of the older subdivision to the north. That was what the Plan Commission said. Alderwoman now is changing that to be at least more clear, that it shall be part of the first phase of the subdivision plan, included at a minimum, so that the first phase can include more than just Marquette, and that the full and complete construction of Marquette Avenue in cooperation with the developer to the north and the pedestrian access to Pleasant View Park would all occur part of the first phase.
Is there a resolution that already states that construction of Marquette that would be done in the first phase?
The wording is not ironclad.